Oh, every Friday morning we get you updated on what's going on across Wisconsin sports-wise. Our 98Q sports reporter, Mike Clemens, nice enough to join us. Top of the morning. How are we doing there, Mike?
Oh, I got my nap in after the NBA draft last night.
Yeah, I commented on this yesterday. The NBA draft compared to the NFL draft is basically not much. I don't think the NBA really cares much about their draft. They just kind of do it, and they're like, whatever, let's move on. Two rounds, and let's do something else. That's the feeling I get.
I thought the same thing driving to downtown Milwaukee last night because I was, you know, the last draft I was at, there was 200,000 people in the parking lot outside Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
You know, and cheering on Mark Murphy. And here you drive into a deer district that's empty. But, you know, I don't know why there's such a difference or drop off that like that. I mean, I don't know if anybody having Bucks draft parties last night, but whatever the case. They drafted a kid from Serbia.
You say it. You say his name.
Bogoljub Markovic.
There you go. We need another hard name to say, don't we, Mike?
Yeah, and, you know, it'll be Bogo. That's what they'll be calling this kid.
Oh,
Giannis Bogo. Bogoljub Markovic from Serbia. Six, like Giannis, you know, when he was a 19-year-old kid brought in from Greece, this young man is 6'11", only weighs 217. And when we talked to the Bucks last night after the pick, they said, we're looking for him to put on some weight. Giannis, I forgot, he only weighed 196 pounds when they brought him. Remember how skinny he looked coming from Greece, 6'11"? Today he weighs 242. It's like 50 pounds of muscle.
The cheese curds will do for you,
There you go, yeah. So this kid that they got, Markovic, is 6'11". He's played in 30 games in the Serbian League with a pro team called Mega Basket. When he was like 18, they brought him up to the adult league. Averaged like 14 points a game, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. They really like his accuracy, though, and that just he's so far advanced in terms of how smooth he is as a shooter and as a 6'11 kid, how he moves along the field. You know, basketball IQ that they called him last night. So, now will they actually use him? Or like in the last 2 or 3 years, it seems like the Bucks, whether it's first or second round, you know, they get these kids and then they make them a project, you know, or use them in a trade.
And a lot of that depends on whether Giannis is back or they're rebuilding, right? That'll be a big determinant whether that guy will see the floor, right?
I suppose, too, yeah. Or, you know, if they move on from Brook Lopez, who, you know, he's a center, this kid's going to be a forward, it sounds like. But, there's other things like that are going on. Hey, so this was a weird situation last night. It was on Monday, I sent the Bucks a note, like, hello, draft is Wednesday night. And usually for the draft, you know, we get down there a couple hours before, and there's a meal served, and then you bring all your equipment, you know, your laptop, your recorders, microphones, notes, and you set up, and you got a little workstation for the next 8 or 9 hours. Yeah. And so I got to sort of plan accordingly. And they said, hey, we're working out, we'll get back to you. So they came back and said, they put out the release to those of us that cover the team, said, okay, we're not going to do anything Wednesday night. We don't have a pick. So we want you to come to Fiserv Forum at 6 o'clock. We'll open the doors. We'll serve a dinner, and you'll work out of the media room, and then monitor the draft. We'll have monitors for you, and then after it's all over, GM John Horst will come down and take your questions on whoever we pick with the 47th pick overall, if that's the way it turns out. So I drive to Milwaukee. I get about to park and go inside, and I happen to check, you know, that my phone had been dinging while I was on the busy expressway downtown Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So now I start reading my messages. They just canceled it about 20 minutes before.
Oh, huh.
And they said, listen, we're canceling tonight's event. There'll be no coverage. Doors will be locked. But after the draft tonight, we'll get you assistant Bucks general manager, Miles Newton. John Howard Hurst will not be available. Because, you know, we were going to ask about, okay, who did you pick tonight and why? And then we're going to ask Giannis questions, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I haven't talked to John Horst since the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And so they give us the assistant GM. And when they get him on the Zoom call after the draft last night, about 15 questions in, ESPN, during the draft last night, when the Bucks were on the clock, they said, We're hearing that Giannis is monitoring what the Bucks do in the draft very closely, what they're going to do in free agency when that starts the next week or two, you know, before he makes his decision. And so we said, hey, that's what's being reported. And Miles said, I'm not talking at all about Giannis. I'm just talking about tonight's draft pick. Hmm.
What's your feeling? What's your gut feeling on Giannis, Mike?
I think there's something to it. I don't think that there's this thing every year where, you know, the networks tend to kick it up. Maybe there's other owners that see. You know, here's what I actually think is going on. There's billionaires, crazy billionaires in this league that they see that Giannis, in a lot of their surveys, is one of the most popular players, particularly with the younger demographics, with the kids and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're trying to sell tickets to their arena, not to mention, you know, have a winning team. And they're telling their GMs, I don't care what it takes. I want you to get Giannis. So these guys have to do their job and call the Bucks and call around agents and say, what do you think it would take? How much of a payload of picks or whatever or players would it take for the Bucks to change their mind and give us 30-year-old Giannis Antetokounmpo? And so when the agents are talking about that, that's where these NBA insiders, the networks, that's what they're hearing. That's the chatter. Now, whether or not Giannis really wants out, I don't know. Because I know an assistant coach who's close to Giannis that, a source of mine spoke to recently. He said, I just took him to the airport. We took him to, you know, he's taking the family to Greece, you know, and in the car. It's like, do you believe this crap? You know.
Yeah.
So when
yeah.
you talk to Giannis, he loves his life, you know, all things good in Milwaukee, and maybe the, you know, ESPN and the others are over-dramatizing. That's all I know.
Yeah.
That's as far as I know right now.
All right. Well, we've had some kind of disturbing stories in baseball, especially. Fans are really close to the field, and players are, you know, their ears are open to some of the fans. And we've had a couple of situations, including a White Sox fan who yelled some stuff, actually got banned, didn't he, from being at the ballpark, right?
Yeah. White Sox, guaranteed rate field out there on the south side of the White Sox. This 22-year-old young man starts yelling at Ketel Marte, one of the hitters for the Diamondbacks. And he's in the warming up there, and this guy starts yelling stuff about his mother, crude, gross stuff about his mother. And Marte has to pause, and he's crying. So Torrey Lovello, the manager of the Diamondbacks, comes running out to see what's the matter with this player, and he looks up and he hears this clown up in the stands yelling this stuff, and he starts yelling at the fans. He says, "Do you understand that his mother's dead? His mother died. You know, sit down." And he's yelling at the ushers, like, get rid of this guy. Oh, and as it turns out, back in 2017, this Martel had actually been on the phone with his mother and hung up. And I can't remember if he's Dominican Republic or wherever, but she was in a fatal car accident. She died. And so this guy yelling about this guy's, you know, bad things about his mom, you know, it got him all emotional. It got him all worked up. And so they banned this guy from life. There was an incident in Cleveland earlier this year. The Red Sox were there playing the Guardians, and Jaron Duran from the Red Sox, he was recently talking about pressures of being a player, and at one point he actually, you know, considered suicide, and some Cleveland's man was bringing that up to him, you know, yelling over the wall there.
Yeah.
He's been banned too. I'll tell you, the worst one that I ever personally saw was back when Favre was playing with the Packers. I think this was like January of 2005, and the Packers had once again just beat the Bears, like 31-17. We're down at Soldier Field, and I'm down on the field, and I'm following the Packers into the visitors' tunnel to get ready for the post-game interviews. And as Brett and the team was going into the visitors' tunnel, and I'm walking behind them, there's a fan, a Bears fan, a woman, holding a little yellow sign that said, "Die, Favre, die."
Jeez.
This was a week after Reggie White had died.
Yeah, nice.
Like, you know, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
So it can get pretty ugly down there.
Exactly. Well, the Brewers, they're rolling. They're rolling. Ever since Murphy dropped the whale poop line, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
And by the way, Greg Gunderson pointed out to me, whale poop actually floats. So I don't know where he got all that.
Whale poop. Well, I'll have to bring that. He'll enjoy that.
Yeah, ask him about that.
I have to prove that to him. Yeah, well, you know, the Mizorowski.
Yeah.
Jacob Mizorowski. That's the guy. By the way, I thought that Pat Hughes, when they were playing the Cubs, made a very funny line where he said, if I talked about this last week, maybe I talked to Gray about it. I said, And I was listening to Pat Hughes. He's pretty funny, too, like Euchre, where he said, Ron, tomorrow night the Brewers are going to put Jacob Mizorowski on the field. He said, did I say that right, Jacob? Did I say that the right way? But the Miz throwing 103 miles an hour the other night against the Pirates. He's now 3-0. He's off to, like, the best start for a pitcher since 1901.
Yeah.
You know, like, since they've been keeping the records. So they're excited about that. And then the other night, Joey Ortiz, playing shortstop. They moved him from second after Willie Adames moved on. He's a great fielder, but he's had a real hitting slump. Like, he's like 183 or something like that to start the season. He's up to about 217. He had two home runs the other night in the win over the Pirates. And so, you know, it's after that, that's when Murphy was asked, hey, if Ortiz had started struggling in the field, could he have been released? He goes, yeah. Yeah, because he was sinking lower than whale poop.
Whale poop, yeah.
And then he turns to his kid, who he brought to the press conference. You know, Bobby, do you know what whale poop is? Like, goes, yeah, whale poop is the heaviest thing in the ocean. So if you've sunk lower than whale poop, then that's pretty low, right?
I love it. All right, so the Brewers doing well. Good to see the crew doing well. All right, Mr. Clemens, thank you so much. Always appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thank you, Joel.
You betcha. Mike Clemens, our 98Q sports reporter, he's there. He's in Pat Murphy's office after the games and kicking back and talking baseball and all that stuff. And he joins us each Friday morning.